Hear these words from the book of Jeremiah. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles who I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them, plant gardens and eat what they produce, take wives and have sons and daughters, take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease, but seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope. Then when you call upon me and come and pray to me, I will hear you. When you search for me, you will find me, if you seek with all of your heart. This is the word of God for the people of God.
It is an honor to be able to be here and preach this from this pulpit, to be with Chris, among our residents in ministry who are patiently waiting for their ordination service that was originally scheduled in June. One of my deepest joys in life is to be able to walk with those as they discern their call in ministry, whether that's layperson or clergy person, local pastor, deacon, or elder. It's my joy and privilege to be able to sit and watch God work in the lives of others and in Chris's life and his time as in residency and as your pastor. I'm tempted to say to you that among all the residents who are from Ohio, who are serving as your senior pastor, among all those residents, Chris is my favorite. But I don't want to show partiality to that. But, we gather this morning in a context. That context is a pandemic that has increased, a pandemic from which over 200,000 people in our own country have died. We gather here with racial tensions within our state and within our nation and world. We gather here in the midst of polarization of politics and our neighbor. So, how's your spirit? That's a rendition or version of the old Wesleyan question of how is it with your soul? And how do we care for our soul where we are right now in the midst of an exile of viruses, anger, and polarization? So I want to talk this morning in your self-care, and as we say, how do we take it through this difficult time? I want to spend some time talking about resilience. And I'm convinced resilience has an important role. In order to be resilient in tough times, we have to have extremely good focus. So in a moment, I'm going to ask us to look at a video that will have exercises. It's important that you follow the instructions exactly and focus in on what they're asking you to do. There is a competition. You can't be in Kentucky without some kind of competition. So, there will be a prize. The person who gets the right answer, Chris will be glad to come in detail and wash your car at your home at your convenience. So let's take a moment to participate in this exercise in focus. So I'll be honest now. How many of you saw the gorilla? How many saw the curtain change colors? How many saw that the person on the black team left? It's a fun way to say to you, what you focus on determines what you cannot see. Let me say that again. What you focus on determines what you cannot see. And resilience, the resilience is not about inner strength or self-confidence or pull yourself up by your own bootstraps, but the kind of resilience in the Christian sense that's a kind of living hope, a way to keep getting up again that has its roots in God's permanent faithfulness. Resilience is that ability to get up again and again and again each time we get knocked down. And in order to be able to do this, we have to focus on the right things. We have to check our lenses to see how we're looking at our life and our world. Resilience is driven by what you focus on. So where's your focus these days? If we focus on what we have lost, we will not be able to see how we've been blessed. If we focus on the doors that are closed, we risk missing seeing the doors that are open. If we see only lack and disparagement, we will miss seeing hope and grace and abundance. If we only focus on what we are despairing about, what we lack, we fail to see God at work. I use the story of God's children in exile. That's who Jeremiah was writing to when he wrote these words read just a moment ago. The children of Israel, thousands of them, had been removed from their homes, their temple, and everything had been destroyed. They were in a place where they did not recognize any of the customs. Recently, a friend of mine suggested they were riding back home like a kid from camp. Mom, none of the kids here like me. The food's terrible, and I want to come home. They focused on what they had lost. They focused on, and were only seeing deficiency. And Jeremiah offered them a new prescription lens of hope and of resilience. He said to them something unexpected. He said, look, don't put your life on hold until everything returns back to the way that you remember. Don't hit the pause button and wait till this all blows over. But instead, Jeremiah says, build homes. Marry. Have children. Marry off your children. Pray for the welfare of the very context in which you find yourself. To do this requires resilience. It requires a new way of seeing the world. And that's why Jeremiah reminds them that God knows the plans I have for you. They're plans for peace and not disaster, to give you a future filled with hope. When you call and come to me and pray, I will listen to you. When you search for me, yes, search for me with all of your heart, you will find me. I'd like to adjust that last phrase. When you look for me, you will find me. When you focus on me with all your heart, you will find me. They had been cast out of their worship, cast away from their homes among foreign customs and foreign gods. Nothing tasted right. Have you felt a taste of exile lately? It wasn't that long ago we weren't able to gather in our buildings of worship. The holidays look different, Lord. I miss seeing my coworkers, my family, Lord. And we're offered lenses of hope. Notice what Jeremiah does. A recent author has said that in order to cultivate resilience, we need to recalibrate our imaginations to the reality of profound difficulty as a natural part of life. I love that phrase, recalibrating our imaginations, that realize difficult times are part of our living. We must not focus on how life isn't meant to be this way, or how we wish life was different, or how we wish life wasn't so hard. We have to accept within this kind of hopefulness and kind of resiliency that recognizing that difficulty comes, that rains on the just and the unjust. Jeremiah reminds him of that and said, look, build homes. Continue living your life. In fact, he gives them a glimpse of hope, because you might remember later in Jeremiah, in chapter 32, Jeremiah purchases land just outside of Jerusalem, the land from when they just got kicked out of. What kind of fool buys land that he'll never be able to claim? And he's saying, no, there'll be a day. Let me show you how much hope I have. I'm going to buy land here. I'm going to invest in this place out of my confidence of knowing we're coming back. The same author that talked about recalibrating our imaginations to cultivate resilience also talks about establishing sites of hopefulness in the midst of despair. What's your site of hopefulness? We are hardwired to see threat. We are hardwired to see the things that might threaten us, both physically, emotionally, spiritually. So we are naturally wired to see the hopelessness, the danger of losing hope. But what are our places to remind us of hopefulness in the midst of despair? Not in denying of despair, not in denying, and it's not a simple, shallow, well, just don't worry, be happy. It's not a denying of our reality, but it is claiming and putting on a vision of hopefulness that is rooted not in what I think or know, but rooted instead in the grace of God. And third, in how to cultivate resilience, the writer says, resilience is best learned in community. It's a communal practice. The fruit of common life, rooted in hope itself. Our churches are meant to be sites of hopefulness. They're meant to be communities in which we share a new vision, a corrected vision of resilience and hope. Is your church that kind of place? Or is it a place where we come and count our woes? The church is that place where we're supposed to offer people gospel lenses in which to see their life as a forgiven child of God. The church is a place where we remind each other, no, remember to focus on God's grace for you and for the world. Remember, put on the lenses of John 3:16 that God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And we're here to remind each other. Because there are times I fall down that I can't quite get back up on my own. There are times where we have so much desire to bounce back up but can't quite get there. Is the church a place where we help people and help each other get up, or do we revel in the fact that someone has fallen down? How's your spirit? Resilient people have had people who have hoped for them when they could not hope for themselves, who helped them get back up when they could not get back up for themselves. So I ask you this morning, who is the one or one others that hope for you when you can't get back up? And I ask, who is it that you are willing to hope for when they cannot get up? You see, it's going to take all of us. It's going to take a community. And all of us need to put on those gospel lenses to correct our vision to see God at work. Because what you focus on determines what you cannot see. How's your vision this morning? How's your spirit this morning? What lenses, what focus are you choosing this morning? Many of you know the story of Viktor Frankl, who was in a German prisoner of war camp and talked about his life there, and he shares this. He said, "We who lived in concentration camps can remember the men who walked through the huts, comforting others, giving away their last piece of bread. They may have been few in number, but they offer sufficient proof that everything can be taken away from a man but one thing, the last of all human freedoms, to choose one's own attitude in any given circumstances, to choose one's own attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's own way." What are we choosing to focus on? What way are we choosing? Where have you placed your focus? What is it you just cannot see? In the second letter to the Corinthians, the author says, "We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed." Resilience is in the very DNA of our scriptures. Getting back up again after we've been knocked down is the story of God's people from the beginning. Throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, that story that there is death, but there's also resurrection. Christians should be the most hopeful people in the world because we believe things that should not be, cannot be, happen. When one dies, one should stay dead, but Jesus rose again and lives among us. That we would tap into those stories, that DNA, that of our own story. This is not the first time we or the church have been at a point of disillusionment. But we get back up again. Can't anything keep us down? The Lord said to the people in exile, "When you look for me, you will find me." In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.